You may be seated, and the children may depart for Children's Church. Woo! The children made a... all right. Fantastic. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to start down here this morning, because if you've had the kind of week I have, what we're about to do... Look, I don't know if it's going to help any of you, but I need to do this. There are times when distractions come. There are times when, speaking for myself, I have a focus, I have a task, I have a thing to do, and suddenly there's something over here. Possibly a good thing, mind you. But it's over here. It's not where I need to be. And then, you know, I get back on it and focus, and then the next thing I know, I'm over here. What gets really hairy is when I'm over here and over here all at the same time, one eye going each direction, and it just gets cross-eyed, split-eyed, whatever. It just gets very, very not productive. So what I want to do now is I'm going to pray. And if you're brave enough, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and if you're brave enough, I want you to consider praying this with me. But if you pray this, well, this room is filled with distractions because our lives are filled with distractions. By the way, where's my phone? This is one of them. This is called a cell phone. It is one of those distractions. Now, I am one of those people who has a Bible on my phone. I have a Bible on my iPad. I use my electronics. But there's also this, well, you know what? Just one quick look at Facebook. What about my email? Oh, look, there's work email. There's So at times I've thought we should just put a Faraday cage around this place. Right, a Faraday cage is a place where no electronic signals go in and out. So we get inside the Faraday cage, there is no internet. There is no none of that, right? But we can't do that. We're not going to do that. But what I'm going to ask is that we pray and ask God, first of all, that we came here with a sense of expectation and that we're open. And we're open to hearing from him today, and that we are willing and we're asking to put away distractions. So, if you would, Almighty God, Father in heaven, you are perfect and holy and righteous. And I ask God that I came here that you would fill me with a sense of expectation. That you would fill me with the expectation to meet with you in this place today, to hear your voice through your word. I pray that you would remove all distractions from my mind and from this place. Father, the hurricane doesn't matter for the next 30 minutes. The weather doesn't matter for the next 30 minutes. What's for lunch doesn't matter for the next 30 minutes. What's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat doesn't matter for the next 30 minutes. You are what matters for the next 30 minutes. You are what matters all the time. And I don't know about anybody else in this room, but marshaling my mind to you for the next 30 minutes is what I need to do. So I pray that you would open my heart and mind, that you would speak to me, and then for each one in this place today who is praying the very same thing, that you would speak to them, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that we would hear from you, that we would leave this place different then we came in, and we will give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, having said all that, Let's have a distraction. Did everyone get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. Fabulous. Great. Okay. So last week, Pastor Josh started us in Haggai. And if there was one word that wove all the way through what he had to talk about last week, what would that word be? Quick, look at your notes. Obedience. Is that what? Yeah, obedience. That was the big word. And were the Israelites really good at it? No, they were not. So we got introduced to four people: Haggai the prophet, Darius the king, Zerubbabel the governor, and Joshua the high priest. All that's from last week. So the handout from last week is back there. Do you know why we do handouts? Do you know why? At least I'm very fond of handouts. Studies have shown that exactly 100% of the time, you are better able to go back and look at your notes if you take them. You'll get that one on the way home. Yeah, no, if we're not taking notes, either this way, fill in the blank, or I do notes on my iPad, or I've got notebooks where I've taken notes. If I don't have them, I can't go back and look them up, right? But if I've got them, I can always go back and look. I can always look them back up. So, four people: Haggai, Darius, Zerubbabel, and Joshua. When was this? It was in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month after the exile. We can pin that down to 520 BC. 520 BC, when they came back. And where was this? This was in Israel. That a remnant, and we've talked about that word a number of times. We talked about that word in Zephaniah. We're talking about that word here in Haggai as well. That a remnant, not all who went, came back from the exile. And this remnant, this group of people, had a job to do. They had work to do. And that work was to rebuild the temple. But as Pastor Josh pointed out last week, they procrastinated a little bit. They put it off just a little bit. They got a little distracted for a little while. Yeah, give or take 16 years. But, you know, you can understand that. I told the joke this morning in Bible study, and you've seen it, I'm sure, but the joke goes, hey, I know the things I have to do at home. My wife doesn't have to keep reminding me every 6 months. There's a joke in there somewhere. Yes. So we get distracted, we put things off, and so that's what we were talking about last week. God was unhappy with them putting things off. So this week we're gonna talk a little bit about first things first. The title of today is First Things First, and we're going to talk about the prophet's evidence, and then we're going to talk about renewed priorities. Because the Israelites they did not have good priorities. It wasn't, what was the most important thing for them? It was them. At our house, we've long had this idea of society around us, and we see silly things. We call it a math problem. We call it a math problem. And that math problem is that this person obviously got up that morning and decided they were going to count the entire human population. They said, for ease, for the sake of ease, they would start with themselves. They said one and stopped counting. They make themselves the most important person, so whatever anybody else needs or wants doesn't matter. It's all about me. And so that's a little bit of what was going on with the Israelites. They had their houses, and they had their fancy, and they had their stuff, but they were ignoring the temple, and ignoring the temple, and ignoring the temple. So today we pick this up. We're in Haggai chapter 1, verses 8 through 15, and I'm going to read from the ESV. I ask that you would read from whatever translation it is in your hand, starting in verse 8. So flip there. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're still headed there, say, hold on. We're ready to go. Here we go. Starting in verse 8. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for pleasure in it. Oops. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. May the Lord bless the hearing, the reading, and the doing of his word. Let's pray. Father, you are perfect and righteous, and we ask now that you would open our eyes through the Holy Spirit to what you have to say in this place today. That you would speak to us clearly, that your truth would be magnified, that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, that you would be made much of in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's get started. The prophet's evidence, we're going to start in verse 8. So in the midst of this rebuke, it sort of keeps going from where Pastor Josh was last week, this rebuke. He's really given Israel what for. And then he says, go up to the hills and bring wood to build this house, that I may take pleasure in it, that I might be glorified. So God is telling them to go and get wood. Not just any wood, apparently, but the good wood. They had wood locally, but they went to the good wood. If you go back and you read about David gathering materials for the temple in Solomon's temple, you'll see that they went and they got the cedars of Lebanon, the really good stuff, quality wood to build a quality building, a quality temple for the Lord. And he uses the phrase in here that I may take pleasure in it, that I might be pleased. So this is a word that, the same word that we will see later on and that we see elsewhere in the Bible, the idea that the God is pleased with acceptable sacrifices that we found in Leviticus 1 and Deuteronomy 33. And that he would be glorified, that this would bring honor to God. The whole problem up to this point with the remnant is they were bringing glory to themselves. They wanted what they wanted. And now God says, go get the wood, build the temple, I will be pleased, and it will bring glory to my name. It's a reversal of roles as they put themselves second and put God first. They put themselves second, they put God first. And we see that years and years, hundreds of years later, with the idea of John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. I have to, it's a better way to look at anything. So, A, first one on your list. A, you wanted a lot, but got a little. You wanted a lot, but got a little. You wanted a lot, but got a little. For all of your hard work, for all of the effort you put in, for all of your blood, sweat, and tears, you're getting about 30 cents on the dollar, to use a phrase. You're not getting what you expected to put in. You're not getting, it's like putting over the life of your career, putting $100,000 in your 401k, and at the end, they settle up, you're retired, and you get your check, and it's about $17,842.18. How many of us are going to jump up and down and be excited about that? None of us. None of us. So they work and they toil and they do all this stuff and they don't get anything out of it. And it's about their focus. It's about obedience. It's about what they're looking at. It's about what's important to them. It's about, as Pastor Josh talked about last week, priorities. Their priorities. Their priority was them. Their priority was their house. We've said this before. I've said it before. I didn't make it up. I heard it somewhere else. But when a good thing, look, a house is a good thing. It's good to have a house. But when a good thing becomes a God thing, then it's a bad thing. When a good thing becomes a God thing, it's a bad thing. When the stuff in our lives, jobs, family, money, recreation, hobbies, whatever they are, when all of those things become the most important thing, then we've lost focus on what we should be looking at. We've lost focus of the Lord. Now, we're going to contrast that with Matthew 6:33. What does Matthew 6:33 say? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Now, we don't have time today to talk about what all those things are and how that works, but what's the key there? It is seek first. Yeah, seek first the kingdom of God. That should be our focus. To use the song that we sang a moment ago, is that the cry of your heart to bring him praise? Is it? I don't know. Is that what is important? I don't know. Seek first the kingdom of God. The next one, B, God blew it away. God blew it away. And he tells us in verses 10 and 11, he's very explicit, isn't he? Because in verse 9, you were running, and literally the word there is running to your houses. All of your effort was going into your stuff. And because of that, in verse 10, he says, therefore, the heavens above, you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth on man and beast in all their labors. We are not talking about a place that gets a lot of rain typically, but what would happen is as the wind came in off the Mediterranean, it would bring moisture and it would bring dew that settled on the plant life. God stopped that. He stopped all of that. Why? Because they were, part of what they were doing was breaking covenantal promises. They were breaking covenant with God. If you look at, and it's written there, it's in your notes, if we look at Leviticus 26:19-20 says, and I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. You will not get if you break the covenant, if you disobey, if you put off doing what you're supposed to do. They're reaping the rewards, if you will, with air quotes, they're reaping the rewards of their disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 says something very similar in verses 23 and 24. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze. What does that mean? What does the heavens will be bronze mean? Well, have you ever seen rain or water come out of bronze? No, it's a metaphor for a no rain. And the earth under you shall be like iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder, and the heaven and from heaven dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. They are reaping what they've sown. They are getting what they've worked hard to earn. Judgment. dry, no crops. They would go and they would plant and they would work hard and they just wouldn't get anything back. And they didn't understand it. But that's why God sent men like Haggai. That's why there were the prophets. That's why we still have the word. That's why we need to be told. Because sometimes life gets distracting. I won't tell you all the details of my distractions this week, but they were plenty. Plenty. Some of them good. Some of them very good. Some of them ministry opportunities. Some of them service. Some of them doing the good stuff. But they were still distractions from what I was focused on. Now, having a job is a bit of a distraction all by itself. I have said for a very, very long time, I am far too busy for a full-time job. But I have a family who have rotten, disgusting habits. They like to eat almost every day. They like to sleep where it's warm and dry. So, you know, there is that whole earning a paycheck thing. And so that gets to be distracting sometimes. But it doesn't have to be. It's Scott's mind that lets things wander sometimes. It's Scott's mind that gets off track sometimes. Now, I may be the only one under the sound of my voice that happens to. I could be the only person on the planet that gets distracted by things and stuff and happenings. I don't think I am, but I could be. So God sent a prophet. He brought a message. And number two, the people's renewed priorities. By golly, by gosh, I think it worked. Starting in verse 12 and going through the rest of the chapter, we see, the first thing we see is the people responded with obedience. The people responded with obedience. Again, we're back to that word. We're back to that word obedience from last week. We're back to priorities and having our priorities straight. Verse 12 tells us, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of their Lord, of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. The people feared the Lord. Now, let me tell you what that would look like from my perspective. As the guy, one of the guys who gets to stand up here on a Sunday morning, that sort of reaction, you know what that would look like here? That would look like before I could get the word invitation out of my mouth, everyone would be up here. Everybody. They would be running for the altar to come and to pray. And to make decisions and rededicate and to get stuff right. The place would, there would be nobody in the seats. Everybody would be up here. We'd have to make room. We'd push some chairs back. Stuff like that. That's what that would look like. And by the way, on behalf of Pastors Josh, Sean, and Pete, I will go on record and tell you, we're okay with that. We're okay with that. We'd love for everybody, not just to be a show, but because the word of God has done that in your heart and in your mind. In fact, to take that equivalent a little bit farther, after all of this, after everybody fills the altar and we pray and it's awesome and we weep and we laugh and we dance and there's joy and there's peace, we would all get up and we'd go out, we'd skip lunch and we'd go tell people about Jesus. I've got a sign up in the back if you want to skip lunch. Yeah, it'll probably be empty, but that's okay. But that's okay. This obedience started at the very top. This obedience started at the top. It was the governor, the head of the government. It was the priest, the head of the church. And they were the first to obey. They were the first to respond. And it says here that they had the fear of the Lord. I will tell you, if there is no obedience, there is no fear of the Lord. There cannot be fear of the Lord if you're not obeying. We've talked about the fear of the Lord up here. We've talked about what that looks like. We've talked about reverence and awe and understanding who God is and who we aren't. But unless we're also obedient, we don't really fear the Lord. We're missing part of that. We're missing part of that. The people responded to the Lord with obedience, and the Lord responded to the people with encouragement. The Lord responded to the people with encouragement. That would be the next blank on your page. Obedience, encouragement. Verse 13 says, "Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, 'I am with you, declares the Lord.'" When I was little and young, because they both happened at the same time, and then I got old and didn't really get all that much bigger. But when I was little, there were times when I would be afraid of things, a storm or the lights went out or something. By the way, I had a bad habit of watching scary movies on Friday night and then trying to go to bed. Bad habit at that age in my life. But I would get scared sometimes, and sometimes there was reassurance when I knew Mom or Dad was there, when I knew they were there, and it was going to be okay. The Lord is speaking it through Haggai, and he's saying, "I am with you." Remember, Israel didn't understand. They understood that the Lord dwelled in the temple. Where was the temple? It wasn't. So now there was no Lord. But the Lord says, "I am with you. I have this assurance. I am here with you. I am here to care for you." Isaiah 43:5 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. Fear not." In the opening of Joshua, God tells Joshua, "Be courageous. Don't fear. I'm with you." Jesus said, "I am with you to the end of the age." He told his disciples that. "I am with you to the end of the age." But that was before they saw all the things they were going to see. And he was with them to the end of the age. He still is with them to the end of the age. Now, let's take a little bit of a sidebar. Let's talk about that end of the age thing. God is, always has been, always will be, the one true God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that one true God has his hand on all of it. All of everything is right there in his hand. And there will be a judgment. What happened to the Israelites when God withheld the water and the produce was a judgment. But at the end of time, there will be a judgment. When we leave this earth, whenever we leave this earth, there will be a judgment. And you will go, we will all go one of two ways. We will either hear Jesus say, "Come on in, let's worship together," or we will hear him say, "Depart from me, I did not know you." So that being with us, that being a part of our life, comes with accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is no two ways about that. The Bible's clear. We will all be somewhere for eternity. And where we want to be, the good place to be, is in heaven with Jesus and the Lord, and spending our time worshiping, not in a place of eternal torment, pain, and suffering. So God said, "I am with you." And he is. But again, that's through salvation, only through faith in Jesus, because it is his grace, his mercy, that gives us that salvation. It's nothing we can earn. It's nothing we can do. It is a gift. It's a gift that's given to us that we cannot earn. Which, by the way, it's the best kind. It's the best kind. The people responded to the Lord with obedience. The Lord responded to the people with encouragement. And then finally, the people worked on the temple with zeal. The people worked on the temple with zeal. Verses 14 and 15. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month of the second year of Darius the king. After time to gather supplies, to make the plans, to do some rough drawings, 23 days later, from what Pastor Josh was talking about, 23 days later, they were ready to build. I can't put up a ceiling fan in 23 days. But here, through the power of the Lord, through His encouragement, through His presence, they were ready to build. They were ready to go. And they did it with zeal. They began to build the temple. Now, I talked about this earlier this morning, I think, and when I think of that word zeal, when I think of that word, what I think of is immediate, absolute obedience. And the first person that comes to mind for me for immediate, absolute obedience is Abraham. It's Abraham. In Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Now, me? I might have said, wait, what? Hang on. Are you sure, God? You had this whole big thing about how I was going to be, you know, the father of many, and how the nations were going to come for me, and by golly, it was going to be awesome. Are you sure? It's not what Abraham does. The text tells us he got up, and he obeyed completely and immediately. And he took Isaac. That's the kind of zeal. That's the kind of the obedience that I think of. Jesus obeyed with zeal. He said, God, if it's possible, take this, but if not, I'll do it. I'll do it. There were two important quotes. Well, everything, hang on, first of all, let me go on record to say everything Pastor Josh said last week was important. There were, however, two things that really stuck with me. The first thing he said, or he asked us a question, he said, what comes first? Satisfaction in the Lord or obedience? Satisfaction in the Lord or obedience. Do you remember what the answer was? Yes. The answer was yes. And then he said, to delay obedience is to delay satisfaction, is to delay joy. Think about that. To delay obedience is to delay satisfaction, is to delay joy. Vance Havner says, you have not really learned a commandment until you have obeyed it. The church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than they practice. The church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than they practice. Are you delaying obedience? Are you delaying satisfaction? Are you delaying joy? Are you putting little g gods in front of big G, the one and the only true God? Are you letting distractions take your eye off of what God has in store, what God is instructing, what God is telling us, what God is leading? Are you seeking satisfaction in the Lord or obedience? Because they come at the same time. There's a way to have that, And it starts with Jesus. There is no other way to have that. It comes from Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are perfect and holy and righteous. We thank you. I thank you. I thank you for getting me through the week. I thank you for getting me through the distractions. I thank you for getting me through this 30 minutes. And I pray that I stayed out of your way, Lord. I pray that this was your word, not Scott's. I pray that that you had your way in this place. I pray that many, if not all, in this place prayed with me to get rid of distractions, to focus on you and your word this morning. I pray that we would respond to you with obedience. I pray that we would hear from you with encouragement. And that I pray that we would do your work with zeal. Father, have your way in this place. Have your way in my heart. Have your way in the hearts of everyone in this place. That we would honor and obey and serve and worship you, the one true God. The one true God in the way that we know you should be worshiped. Help us not to be Christians who know things alone, but that we are Christians who know things and do them. James tells us not to just hear the word, but to do it, to go out and be doers of the word. Lord, may we be doers of that word. May it be your will and may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.